beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. We're going to have a report this morning. Kenneth's going to hold on to the money before he goes and counts it. So we're going to talk to you. Come on up here, Kenneth. We'll start with you. This is Kenneth Scoggins. We want to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're a poor inner city congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole wide world and feeding the poor. This is Kenneth Scoggins. His daddy served as an elder here in this church for 50 years. Kenneth's been with us for the last 25 years. He serves as a trustee here. Yes. We don't have people that are qualified to be elders, so we have eight trustees. And these eight trustees, I submit myself and keep myself in subjection to these eight trustees just like they were elders. And so Kenneth's my boss, and he looks out for me. Kenneth and I played high school football together.
Grade school.
And he was a tackle and I was a guard, or I was a guard and you was a tackle. Which was it?
I don't know. It's been a while.
I don't either. But we both got bloody noses first together and learned how to scuffle. And Kenneth went on and went to ACU and I went to Leavenworth. And I got a better Bible education at Leavenworth than he got at ACU. And he wound up being the eighth man on Hamburger Hill. Is that right?
That is correct.
God bless you. And the Lord sent you and spared you through that so
he
that
did.
You could come here and be a trustee and live the rest of your life for Christ.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go count the money.
Okay.
Got work to do. Come on, Carl. This is Carl Boyd. Carl is one of the trustees here. Eric, where are you at? Good. All right, you up here next. Come on, head this way. I don't know how crippled you are, how slow you are this morning. Carl Boyd is one of our trustees. Carl's a plumber, so you can trust him. And Carl heard us on the radio years ago and came here and said he wanted to be a part of this. And Carl's going to die as being a trustee of this church. All of us are going to serve till death do us part. And tell us about Main Street. Why are you here, Carl?
Well, I can tell you how I got here to begin with. I was listening to the radio and listening to Kelly. Didn't know anything about him or where he was or anything else. And I was listening. It's a Sunday morning. And then figured out that it was the Church of Christ, and I'd grown up in the Church of Christ. And I thought, listened till the whole thing was over, and I thought, well, I'd like to go down there and meet these people. And that's what I did. I came down the next Sunday, and I've been coming here ever since.
God bless you. Thank you, girl. And thank you, Martia, for watching him for us and keep him on a short leash because we need him. He's retired, and he's going to work with us and work at home.
And I'm scared of her.
I'm scared of her. I keep it that way. Yes, sir.
She's okay.
And so we have, you can go sit down now. And so we have Eric Jenkins. Eric's one of our trustees. He came here 25 years ago. And you've got about 3 minutes to tell people about the miracle of your paralyzed. You were paralyzed just a few weeks ago. Tell us about it quick.
Yeah. Well, real quickly, 9/11, I had been sleep deprived. I work at a school system, and I work about 12 and a half hours every day. And so I had to get up at 4 in the morning, and I'd been so sleep deprived, I said, I'm going to get me some sleep this day. So I went and got me a shower early, jumped in bed, had two new pillows I had got from Aldi's, and I'm telling you, I was in heaven. And for 1 in the morning, the smoke alarm, I guess the battery was low, and so it started beeping. So I put my earpiece on. I said, I'm not going to get out of this bed. I'm going to ignore it. Well, the sound went straight through the earpiece. So I jumped out of the bed, tried to reach the fire alarm, couldn't reach it, got on the bed, ripped it off the wall. I kind of shimmied over there to the light switch, turned it off, plopped on my stomach to go back to sleep. Slipped or misjudged the wall and hit the wall and with all of my weight and snapped my neck backwards. So I was completely paralyzed.
So and when we see it, so you couldn't move your right side and you could barely move your left side.
Right.
And this just been a few weeks ago, and then you went through intensive rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And tell them about that real quick.
Well, basically, when they got the CAT scan and the MRI, they told me that I was supposed to be, based on my congenital abnormality, I have a narrow spinal column, that I should have been paralyzed and or a broken neck. And so we know that is the power of prayer. We know that it was miraculous. It's a long journey to go through, but I'm telling you, God allowed me to experience being paralyzed for at least an hour. But I tell you, I take what I'm going through right now over that any day, I'm telling you. But it's helped me to be more empathetic and sympathetic with people that have all kinds of medical issues and pains and neuropathy and numbness and just the whole bit. So it's just given me a broader perspective. So you look at it a positive way that God can put you through stuff that so that you can connect to more people. And that's the way I look at it. It's just my journey. No pain, no suffering, just experience.
He's going to keep us posted, but what we need to know about him is that he's worked here for 20 years for no pay, and he's now about to lose his job. He's going to lose he's no longer going to be able to drive a school bus or be qualified to. So if the school doesn't provide him with another job, he's going to be forced to try to go on disability, and y'all know that takes years to get approved for disability. So we're going to have to take care of Eric until he gets on his feet. So we have a responsibility of looking out for you, but you keep getting well, and we're going to, Eric is one of the trustees here. He's back to teaching Sunday school. Our song leader, our jail chaplain, was supposed to lead singing today, and instead he's in jail preaching. And so Eddie Frazier left here in 1998, and he's baptized 19,000 people in the jail since he left here in 1998, and we trained him here, and he's gone and baptized 19,000 people in jail. Eric took his place leading singing this morning to spare y'all of me leading singing. And so y'all know what it's like when I lead singing. It sounds like chalk on the blackboard. So it's really better that Eric's here leading singing. So go on and sit down, Eric. Right, and so we're going to talk this morning about some of the things. We're going to give a report about some of the things that's going on in the church here. Eric is in jail. Eddie's in jail this morning, preaching in the jail and in the prisons. He baptized, eight last week? And so he's in jail. Eric's here leading singing, and he needs to continue to rehab and heal. We've got two missionaries in the field. Two of our members are missing. And we can't tell you where they're at because the people who were there in front of them got in trouble and got arrested. And so this country is using facial recognition software, and you see how we have defeated the facial recognition software. Our people are now in this foreign country. Right now, today, we've got two missionaries there, and y'all all know them. And they found inexpensive housing. They found bedding to last them for the next couple of weeks. Don't you have a picture? Yeah, there's their beds. They found some bedding. And we've got two missionaries that's in a foreign country, and they're going to come back and report. But they're probably going to have to wear a hood or a ski mask or some kind of thing because of the facial recognition software. You can't even show your hands anymore. They can get your fingerprints. And a country that they're going to, you can go there as a visitor, and it costs you $300. But if you go there as a missionary, it costs you $800. So a rich church is paying for them to go there, and they're over there teaching preachers in that country what to teach, sound doctrine, sound lessons. Paul is teaching them the in Christ lesson, the Isaiah 35 lesson, and the Isaiah 28 lesson. And I've taught the last 2 weeks, and then that in Christ lesson. William, come up if you would, please. William is, we have a youth movement going on here at Main Street. You take this. I've got a mic on. Let's sit down here for a minute, take a load off our feet, and we'll talk here for a minute. William, you were at Grapevine. Tell us about visiting at Grapevine.
Okay, so like Brother Kelly said, I had the opportunity several weeks ago to go visit the Grapevine Church of Christ, and just a tremendous honor to get to represent this church on behalf of all the works that we do. And I really wish that I could take the members with me when I go over there, because the surrounding congregations are so inspired. They're so encouraged by the many works that are taking place here. And I think that this congregation, we really have a wonderful position as being an encouragement to surrounding churches. So many churches in the suburbs, they would love to do the types of things that we're doing. They see that what we're doing by taking care of the poor, the homeless, the outcast, is just so central to the teaching of Jesus. And I think that we have the ability to show them how to do this, to invite them to come join us, and to just be a tremendous encouragement to them as we're sharing just different people who have been caught in addiction and drugs and alcohol and just brokenness, and then sharing with them how God has just completely delivered them. And so that was a great honor to be there and an encouragement to me.
Grapevine Church of Christ is one of the first and only, the very, very few churches support us. But Grapevine sends us $300 a month that goes strictly for feeding, for food. And so their contribution goes for food. Very few congregations support us. We have McDermott Road is helping us here today in feeding. But we're pledged not to go around begging churches. If God wants what we're doing to go on, He'll send the money, and He always has. And we don't beg for money on the radio, and we're not going to. God's going to send the money, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing. William went to Walnut Hill, their golf. They had a golf raise fundraiser for the Cambodian ministry. Tell them real quickly about the Cambodian ministry.
Okay, so I would definitely encourage anyone who's interested, if you want something just encouraging, if you want to see how God is just powerfully working in the world today, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I would encourage you to go to Google Cambodian Christian Ministries. And a man named Shacom is a missionary to his own people. He's got the most incredible story about how his family was killed and members of his family were raped. But as God would have things turn out, he was called to go back to that very same group of people to take them provisions, rice, and medicine, and to take the good news back to them. And God has just powerfully, powerfully blessed him, and they've completely lost count of those who are being baptized and the different house church leaders. There's over 250 house church leaders that are represented in their annual conference and leadership training. And so please go to their website and take a look at what's taking place over there. It's just truly remarkable. God is on his throne, and he's working, and he's moving powerfully in Cambodia, and Walnut Hill is doing a whole lot to help raise money, and they're wanting to build schools over there and different structures and try and build catfish hatcheries and all kinds of neat things, and God's just really doing a lot over there, so I'd encourage you to look that up.
I want to kind of give you a little report about what's going on, too. We have built a homeless ministry here. We feed about 2,000 meals a week to the homeless. That's some of it's coffee and donuts, and some of it's meals and so forth. But it's about 2,000. We serve about 2,000 a week. And we serve breakfast and lunch downstairs during the week for the homeless, those that come to Bible study and things of that nature. Y'all have known that I have chosen William to take my place here when I retire. And I'm semi-retiring now, and so I want to talk to y'all about a few things. Number one, the bylaws of our corporation says that the evangelist, being in me,
At the time prior to the adoption of these bylaws, Kelly Lawson, the evangelist, was ordained and set apart by the approval of the entire congregation to set in order the things that are warning until I ordain elders, until we can find people that are qualified to be elders. And that until that time, I'm in charge of the day-to-day operation of the church. And so that's been true, but it says in the event that I retire, William Ralston, the evangelist and minister, shall oversee the day-to-day operations of the church. So I'm giving that football to you, brother, that you are now going to be with me overseeing the day-to-day operations of the church. You're going to be making decisions. If I'm not here, make them. And I'll believe in the decisions that you make. Anything that I want to do around here, I'll talk to you about. Anything you want to do, you talk to me about. I'm going to preach every other week until I get through with this Old Testament series. Then I'm going to start preaching once a month or preaching on holidays and vacations and when he goes out of town. And we're going to broadcast in the United States William, because William's going to try to be building a church here, and he'll be teaching people about evangelism and about how to live their Christian lives. I'm taking the worldwide ministry part of this, and I've got 52 lessons that are going to be prepared that'll be broadcast to the world on the international station, asking people to come back to the website. Put up that report for the year. For this past year, in this last calendar year, you can see that we had 3,338,000 hits in the last year. We had 261,000 hits last month. A hit is a request for information from our website. It's a request for a sermon. It's a request for a song album. We don't have just one song. We have albums that are like six songs. It's a request for a sermon, or it's a request for a written lesson. We see in the past year, this year, since January 1st, we've had 1,259,000 soundtracks downloaded. That's sermons. 1,002,000 sermons. And we had 357,000 written lessons downloaded. Now we have a successful operation operating in this international ministry. It's preaching to people a high-level, college-level lesson on how to be saved. Every week is a salvation lesson. This is going to include about three or four of these lessons in Genesis. It's going to include one in Exodus, the messianic prophecies of Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, the parables of Christ, introduction to the book of Acts, first couple of chapters of the book of Acts, a couple of sermons on the church, and then we're ready to make the loop again and go around and broadcast the next year and the next year and the next year. We'll make that same 52 lessons going out to the world so that the world can be evangelized with the gospel of Christ. William is going to be taking over and preaching. He'll be preaching. By next year, he'll be preaching most of the time. Until then, him and I are going to preach every other Sunday. And you think of anything that we hadn't talked about that we ought to talk about here, brother? So you're going to be, he'll be on the radio here locally in Dallas, and I'll be on the radio worldwide. And so we're going to have a couple of these meetings for a few weeks like this, and we'll get on into our lesson. Thank you, William. I have already given him and the trustees, they have the ability to get what small reserves that we have. I've left him a church in a fine position. We have two stoves that are out downstairs, two stoves don't work, two ice boxes don't work. We had a church that promised us that they were going to help pay for the feeding here and last year, and they hadn't sent anything at all. And, of course, we're not going to ask. We're not ever going to ask. God is going to send us a couple of ice boxes and a couple of stoves. Watch that happen. It's going to happen in just no time at all, because we don't go around begging churches for ice boxes and stoves. We want to really depend on God. We had a real rich church that came here that said, you know, Kelly, we're really rich. And I said, I'm sorry. And he said, you're what? And I said, I'm sorry. And he said, why? And I said, because you'll never know the joy depending on God alone to deliver you and save you. You'll always depend on your money. And he said, don't you realize what this church could be if we got our money behind it? And I said, just exactly what would that cost us, brother? And he couldn't get it, but I got it. I got it real good. In Isaiah chapter 35, 36, 37, we've been studying about the deliverance of Israel through the Messiah. And after Isaiah chapter 35 and 36, 37, the Assyrian army is destroyed. This is recorded three times in the Bible here, in 2 Kings 18 and 19, and in 2 Chronicles 32. I'd encourage you to read it. It's an astounding miracle in which the Assyrian army is destroyed by direct action of God. Now, if you'll see some pictures here, we've got some pictures of Assyria as the big bad guy, the local big bad guy on the block, and Israel is caught between Egypt, who is another bad guy to their south, and Assyria is to their north, and most of the pressure is coming from Assyria having campaigns into Syria, and Syria itself is a problem too, and so Assyria conquers Syria. And so we have a picture of Sargon the Great. He conquered. This is a bas relief of Sargon II. He conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and then he also conquered Samaria. And then we have Sennacherib. We have a picture of him. That's his son. And he was famous for being one of the first terrorists. He didn't pay you. If you didn't surrender, he'd put you up on poles. See them guys up on things up in the air like spears? Well, he's been put up on poles. And so an archaeologist found where King David's palace was in Jerusalem. And this archaeologist in the 90s began to write and said, I know where it is, because we know where the old city wall of Zion was, and it says that David, when he heard the Philistines, went down from his palace to the city of Zion, so it must be up that hill towards the Temple Mount, and they dug there, and sure enough, they found an administrative building that's King David's palace. And when it was destroyed, and this is a reconstruction of what it looked like, and over here on the left is what's called a step stone structure, or the millo, and this is really just a retaining wall, a foundation for all of this being built up here on top. And so when it was destroyed, stuff washed down to the bottom. Next picture, please. And so down there they found the seal of Isaiah the prophet. And it was just 1980, 1970 when I was going to college that the non-believers are saying they know such thing as Isaiah. There's three Isaiahs, not just one Isaiah, there's three Isaiahs. So here we see the seal of Isaiah the prophet. Next picture, please. Here we see the seal of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, he's let the deep state talk him into getting involved in a war between Egypt, going on Egypt's side against Assyria. And Assyria is the rod of God's anger in Isaiah 10:5, it says. So the next picture, please. You see that Hezekiah has adopted a wing sun disc, which is a representation of a risen Christ, and also eternal life, ox. And so Israel loses that war, and so it's a grand climax now in the near term of this salvation that God promised. 9 times in the preceding chapters, God has promised to save Israel from the Assyrians. And this is a blended together account of two invasions. One, Sennacherib came in 713. The second time they got to talking to the Babylonian envoys, the deep state got him in trouble again. He got to talking to the Babylonian empires, and then Sennacherib really comes this time. And he loses the war, Hezekiah does, and he bought off the king of Assyria to save his own life. And all the remnant that has escaped from the northern kingdom of Israel and from Samaria, the refugees, have all come to Jerusalem. And it's like the United States been wiped out. All of New York City and Philadelphia and Chicago and Detroit's all wiped out. And they've got them down to Sherman and Denison and McKinney. And they're at the gates of Plano itself. They've destroyed everything right up to the wall. And only the faithful remnant, God has saved this faithful people. They have made it to Jerusalem, and that's all that's left. And so in Isaiah, before all of this destruction happened in Isaiah 1:9, Isaiah says, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and as Gomorrah. Now that's before the destructions took place. Isaiah is saying there's very few of us restoration movement, Church of Christ type people in Judaism all together and in the northern tribes and the southern tribes together. There's just a remnant for it starts. When it gets to the end now, there's still just a remnant. Now we got 2 Kings 18 beginning in verse 14. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, and that which thou puttest on me I will bear. If you won't keep attacking, whatever bounty, whatever booty you want, we're going to pay it. We'll give it to you. And the king of Assyria appointed to Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, talents about 75 pounds. So equivalent volume-wise, if we lined up 75 kids, 10, 12-year-old kids that weigh about 75 pounds, that's how much silver. And if we lined up 15 full-grown people, that's how much gold that this guy wants for him not to destroy him. And so he says he wanted that gold. Verse 15. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasury of the king's house. He even took his own money too. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the doors from off the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, the king of Judah, had overlaid. Hezekiah had become rich and he had given his money to the temple and overlaid the temple in gold, and he gave all that. What will a man give when you face sure and certain death? You give everything you got. So he's going to give it all. From the pillars that Hezekiah and Judah had overlaid the kings of Assyria. And so it's equivalent to 225,000 pounds of silver and 4,500 pounds of gold. And Sennacherib accepts a bribe and then welches on the deal, sends the army on anyway, sends his generals, and the talkers come, and they come up to Jerusalem, and they blaspheme and they make fun of God, and they said, Hezekiah can't save you. I've took 200,000 captives. I've destroyed 46 walled cities to get here. Don't depend on Yahweh, because I've conquered all the other gods. My God Ashereth has conquered all the other gods. So Hezekiah gets this letter from this king, and him and Isaiah take it to the temple, and they pray the Lord, and they say, look, Lord, how he's talking bad about you, and you're going to have to do something about it. And so 2 Kings 18:17, and the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem, at least 185,000 troops. They went up and they came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood at the conduit of the upper pool, the highway of the fuller's field. And then Isaiah then delivers that beautiful prophecy that we're fixing to study in a second, Isaiah 35. And in the short term, that night, the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 of the Assyrian army. And so the Bassam cylinder, which is a picture, if you put that up, please, that Bassam cylinder, that's Sennacherib's own account of what he did. And he has a formula. He says, I went up against a city, I took it, I captured it, I killed a king, I made everybody else prisoners, and so forth. He says that same formula for all these 46 cities, and when he gets to Jerusalem, he said, I came up and I locked Hezekiah up in the city like a bird in a cage, and I returned to my own land. And so he admits that he didn't take Jerusalem and he didn't have an army left when he left. Herodotus, an Egyptian historian, writing in 500 B.C., this was one of the biggest things that ever happened in history. Herodotus said that there was a plague of rats. Rats brought a plague and it destroyed the Assyrian army. And Josephus, writing in 200 B.C., he says that it was a plague that was brought on by rats, like scarlet fever, bubonic plague, and so forth. It's all brought on by rats. And so the Assyrian army is destroyed. And so when we read now in Isaiah 37:36, and the angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And they arose early in the morning, and behold, the dead were corpses everywhere. And so we have been studying, as we studied, we talked about destruction being a metaphor for what's happened to Samaria, to the northern kingdom, to the armies, the enemy armies, fire and burning. Can you imagine what they had to do to clean up the bodies the next morning? And it talks about they burned them in Tobit, which was a place that they sacrificed children to their idols. Now, this great prophecy of Isaiah uses this time of great calamity to promise great deliverance, and he can see beyond the 185,000 army, he can see the time when God's really going to come and save them. So Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them, a fearful of heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He'll come and save you. Isaiah tells the people that, and there's an army of 185,000 standing out there fixing to kill them. Now, the most important question that would have come into my mind is, when are you going to do it, boss? Now'd be a good time, you know. I mean, when are you going to do it? When are you going to get rid of these Assyrians? And God goes right over the question of when to the real salvation. Then the people would want to know when. Well, the next verse starts with the word then. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And we studied this last week, how Jesus cured two different blind men, one that washed in the pool of Bethesda and one that washed in the pool of Siloam. And then shall a lame man leap as his heart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Don't you know that that dumb man, that man had never spoke before, went to the temple and sang praises to God? For in the wilderness now, in poetic language, Isaiah, who is a great, he speaks perfect palace Hebrew. This guy is a poet, man. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. All these places that God has destroyed, the Gentile nations that have never brought forth fruit, they're now going to become fruitful. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall springs of water and habitation of dragons where each lay. There's not going to be any more serpent there in this place. Shall be grass and reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. Now, in talking about, then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, then shall the ears of the deaf be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap his heart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Jesus' first miracle in Luke, in chapter 5, he heals two people of leprosy, and he tells them, go to the priest as a testimony unto them. So the first thing Jesus did in his ministry is that he sent two lepers to the priesthood telling them, the Messiah healed me. Now one of the signs of the Messiah in Isaiah 61 is lepers will be healed. Who else in the whole Bible healed lepers? Nobody but Naaman the Syrian healed any leper, and he was a Gentile. No Jews had ever been healed. And they have all these rules from Leviticus 13 through Leviticus 17 tells these priests what they got to do to investigate a leper being healed. They had to investigate these people. They investigated those people that were born blind. They investigated all those people that he healed. They knew he was the Christ, and they chose to murder him anyway. And a highway shall be there. He's going to make a brand new way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. For it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. The highway will be there. It's the way that we're directed to walk in our life. We have, by divine authority of Christ, we're now on the King's highway. It's a way of holiness. It's a good old way of our fathers. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. That's www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's thousands of sermons on there, all kinds of written lessons. There's complete libraries. You can study anything you want to study. Verse 8, it shall be called the way of holiness, which is the way that the faithful and obedient. You see, you're saved by faith to be faithful. You understand? You can't just be saved by faith and you believe one time and then be faithless. You're saved by faith to become faithful And that means to be obedient to God. And so it's going to lead you into a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. See, that's why God sent William here. He's a real blue blood. He is Church of Christ. I'm telling you, his parents and grandparents on both sides of your family were Church of Christ people, right? He went to Harding University. He's exactly opposite of me. He is holy. God sent him here to teach a bunch of Corinthians about holiness. And you know what he started teaching? He started teaching the book of Corinthians. He's done a pretty good job in teaching us that we need to be more holy and straighten our act up better. The unclean shall not pass over it. You got to have your sins washed away to get on this new highway, to get in this church of God, to get in this church of Christ, to get in this kingdom of God. You got to have your sins washed away. That means that you got to become a believer. You got to have faith and trust in Christ. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized into Christ. You got to have your sins washed away. It'll be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. So it shall be for those wayfaring men, that's Halak, who choose to walk their lives, the rest of their lives, after they hear this gospel. They're like Bob. I thought Bob had left, but Bob lives in Galveston. And he's faithful in the Church of Christ in Galveston. Live their lives traveling on this highway. Though fools shall not err therein. Listen to me, brethren. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's so simple that any idiot can get that, man. It's like adding two and two and getting four. Two and two, one, two, three, four. There's no way that you can miss that. There's no way you can get it. A fool shall not err therein. In this scripture, this Christianity is so simple, the most simple person can be saved if they'll just apply themselves to it. No fool shall err therein. You have to go to college and be taught wrong to make a mistake about this church. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now some people say, he that believeth and is saved should be baptized. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you don't get to believe and then be saved, and then you ought to be baptized. That's not what it says. But 90% of religious organizations today tell you, y'all just pray the sinner's prayer. Just march down here, pray your way through, pray the sinner's prayer. If you find me the sinner's prayer in this Bible, I'll eat it without salt and pepper right now. You find me an example of anybody praying the sinner's prayer and getting saved. Show me somebody getting saved by praying the sinner's prayer. It doesn't happen. Isaiah 35:9, no lion shall be there, and no ravenous beast shall go thereupon, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. You remember Isaiah 11, there shall be a root of the stem of Jesse shall rise up. And what's going to happen? The lion's going to lay down with the lamb, and a little child will lead them. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So this new church, this church of Christ, that this Messiah is going to establish, this highway of holiness and cleanliness and a new way that he's going to make this restoration movement to God, that's a constant thing that's going on. No lion shall be there. There's peaceful, perfect salvation in this kingdom of God. There's on this king's highway, Satan can't reach us. The Bible says, since there's no lion there, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom be steadfast in the faith. But the redeemed shall walk there, those who have forfeited their inheritance. They've been bought back by the near kinsman. Our near kinsman, Jesus, has bought us back. He's redeemed us. And what were we redeemed with? For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. What are we redeemed with? We're the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. He paid the ransom with his blood, the one who cured the blind, made the blind see, made the lepers whole, the one who did miracles like no other man ever did, the one who taught better than any man ever taught, that guy. Then salvation came. That's when salvation came. Real salvation. More than a destruction of an army, it was destruction of the army of the devil. Forever, Christianity will be saving people. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come with Zion, with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The ransom of the Lord will return. Jesus has paid the full price. What is Zion prophetically? Hebrews 12:22 tells us, for you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. It's a city four square. It's 1,377 miles in each direction. If everybody had their little acre in God's little acre in the kingdom of God, it'd be that big. It'd be enormous, this great new Jerusalem. But you come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living heavenly God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. What does that mean? Jesus is the firstborn. The general assembly of the church is a church in heaven. Those who are gathered around the throne right now and are written in heaven, and of God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, that is better than the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So you come to Mount Zion with everlasting songs on your head. You're going to be happy because you're saved, and you'll wear that like a garland, like a crown on your head. In Revelation 21:4, it says, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And so the gospel is a very simple thing. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It represents the vicarious righteousness of God, the separate and apart from us righteousness of God. If you want to become a Christian, it's so simple for you to do that. All you have to do is just march right down to the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Be sorry for what you've done wrong. Be willing to confess that I've sinned. I'm sorry. I want to change my life. I want to go this new direction. Be willing to put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Because God said, he that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. And then be baptized into Christ. And have all your sins washed away. If you want to become a Christian, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing, Brother Eric?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.